Hello, Master's Mind audience. Today we bring you a podcast with Lorne Brown. Lorne has been an entrepreneur for over 27 years. He started working on his family farm as a young boy where he learned lessons about hard work and doing things right the first time. He moved on to work for a local landscape company where he learned the skills necessary to start his own business. He worked in the landscape business he started for 16 years. Nearing the end of his time in landscaping, he found and purchased an embroidery business. He tried running both businesses for a while and discovered that by dividing his time and effort, that he wasn't real good at either one. He made a few different trial runs in embroidery, getting his feet wet and learning the business. After a short time, he took a leap of faith. He left the landscape business behind and went full-time in embroidery. He concentrated on the part of the business that he felt was best suited for his family, his lifestyle, and best showcased his skills. Designing the business that met his customers' needs and his own, he went all in. In this podcast, you will learn, number one, a great lesson on the power of doing what you are good at and not being all things to all people. Number two, how to build a business around your life and not a life around your business. Number three, an unlikely strategy to help your customers in their early days that will help you in the end. Stay tuned at the end for the Master's Mind summary and enjoy this podcast full of value with Mr. Lorne Brown. Hello, folks. We're here with Lorne Brown. Lorne runs an embroidery business. Mike and I both went to Oldham County High School. Lorne did as well. What year did you graduate? 1992. And Lorne and I were in school around the same period of time. I remember seeing him running around the halls when I was there. And we ran into each other later in life. And I was able to get some advertising materials from him, some hats. And Lorne does fantastic work. And in the course of that conversation and in the course of doing some business, we got talking about our personal lives, found out we had some things in common. And could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, just for the sake of the listeners?
Yes, my name's Lorne Brown. I lived in Oldham County my whole life. I've got a wife and two daughters, Brianna and Taylor. And
what are their ages, brother? I didn't ask you that.
Brianna's 12 and Taylor's 22.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Taylor just graduated college and coming home, and Brianna's a student at East Oldham Middle School. And
you got some in sports too, right? You were saying.
Yeah, Brianna's a basketball player at East Oldham, and good little ball player. So we'll working on that and see what happens.
I'd like to see her play sometime. Yeah. That's exciting. Well, brother, tell us about how you got into the embroidery business. How'd that come about? I know you've been an entrepreneur for a while, but it wasn't always embroidery. Tell us a little bit about your past life.
Yeah, I, growing up in Oldham County, like everybody else, I started farming and working in the construction industry, and quickly realized that wasn't for me, and started landscaping when I was 18, and
Still in high school, out of high school?
Yeah. Okay. In high school. Actually, I think it was the summer that I graduated.
Okay.
And was working for a landscaper and working at night at UPS. And tried school for about a year, but that wasn't for me. I got to the point where I was counting how many yards I could do while I was in class and how much money I could be making while I was in class. So... But worked for a landscaper here locally, Keith Curry, great guy, good Christian guy, and learned a lot about the business from him, and started landscaping and enjoyed it for 16 years. And then it just got hard to find good help. Started waking up with aches and pains.
Sure.
And there's just... a lot of hoops to jump through, so and it got extremely competitive and turned kind of cutthroat on prices and stuff. And had a friend of mine knew of an opportunity to buy the embroidery business, and we went and looked at it together. And long story short, he couldn't afford it, couldn't make it happen. So we bought it ourselves and been doing it ever since.
Fantastic. And how many years did you say? 11, you told me?
11 years ago.
11 years. Okay.
First couple years, I was doing both. I was doing the landscaping and embroidery. And there wasn't a whole lot of local embroidery. A lot of it was the shows that we were going to on the weekends, the hunting and fishing shows, and doing custom embroidery there. And it got to the point where we were kind of spinning our wheels. We weren't doing either of them great. So we just kind of took a leap of faith and decided to get rid of quit doing the landscaping and just do embroidery and work from home.
That's a good point. I think that's a good lesson for people to hear. I had a fellow much wiser than myself, but most everybody I talk to meets that criteria. But he said, you've only got time in your life to be really good at one thing.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
That's probably, some of the things we've been talking about. What helps you succeed is that's probably one of the most important things to me is just whatever you do, do it right. And do it right the first time if you can. Learn from your mistakes if you make the mistakes.
And don't try to be all things to all people, right? Yeah. I've heard you say that more than once since we've been talking.
Yeah. I think I started learning that when I was doing both businesses was, I wasn't doing great at landscaping or embroidery because I was trying to do both of them. So I was kind of like, you know what? You got to focus on what's right. And that led me to me and my wife to focusing on what we're good at, what we need as a family, what do we need to focus on. It kind of focused everything, and it's made it a whole lot easier, not worrying about things we can't control and things that we're not good at, just focus on what we are good at.
I think that's great
advice. Spending time together, so.
Yeah, that's fantastic advice. A lot of people can be mediocre at a lot of things, but if you're going to be good at something, if you're going to be the best, if you're going to be elite, at least top of the pack, you gotta do what you're good at, man.
At least the best that you can do.
Absolutely. And that's good enough, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, my goal is not to be the best embroiderer out there or beat the biggest company or make the most money. My goal is to every day do the best that I can with the gifts that God's given me and the scenario that he's put me in.
Sure.
And that will result in a quality business.
Absolutely. And you like what you do. I heard you say that. I heard endless people. Everybody says you got to do what you love. You got to do what you love.
Well, and mine's, I love embroidery, but I love my situation and where I'm doing it at and who I'm doing it with more than anything. I mean,
gotcha.
I get to work with my wife all day, every day.
Right.
And that's something that's important to us. Every day we, we're our own boss, so we can stop when we want and go pick up our daughter. And, we don't miss work, so to speak. We can go back and do it again at night. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been embroidering at midnight, 2, 3 in the morning, whatever, because I took the time out of that day to go to a ball game or pick up from school or, my wife going to the doctor's appointments or what have you. So,
but that's a great advantage. You can work your schedule around the things that you think are more important in life, right? Like your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic advice. And folks, for any of you looking to be an entrepreneur, that's definitely one of the benefits of being an entrepreneur, putting your own schedule together. Now, what you also have to do, which Lauren is humbly not talking about, you can't just go to the ball game and then skip work that day. You got to come home and burn the midnight oil and still get it done. Yeah. And you did that,
And that works. Sometimes that works out good. During the day, phone's pinging 100 times. You got texts and emails and whatnot. And when those people are at home eating, they probably won't call me.
So I can
get a lot done between 6 and 9 o'clock. Because I'm not being interrupted by emails and texts and all that.
Makes sense. Yeah. Sure.
So.
Now, that's great advice just for other people looking to get into work for themselves. What do you think your specialty is? I know you all embroider, but what do you think your specialty is? I mean, that might be it, or it might be something else. I don't know.
The quality embroidery, number one. Nothing leaves, my shop that I wouldn't give to any, famous person or whatever to be on TV. I mean, it's... If not, I'll throw it in the garbage and grab another one and start over. But customer service for sure. A lot of people, you know, always comment on my customer service. You know, there's times where we do have to deliver, and that makes it easier on the customer. They don't have to send somebody all the way out to, you know, I do a lot of stuff in Louisville, and they don't have to send somebody out to pick it up.
Sure.
You know, so we'll take it to them. But working at home, I don't really have set hours, so there's times where somebody needs something, but they've got a job, and they can't leave at 4 o'clock. So on their way home, 5:30, 6, whatever, they stop in, we knock it out, and get all the details, and, you know, they can pick it up the week later, 2 weeks later, whatever, on their way home again, so they're not missing work.
That's a fantastic advantage, and you were willing to work with me like that, because I know I was coming by after hours, and you know, folks, for those of you looking for somebody to do some business for you, that's one of many reasons I would choose Lauren. That's actually a small one, but a good one. You know, when you get off work, most every place else is off work too, so that's a challenge, and you're stuck with trying to do stuff on a weekend when that's the only time you've got to get everything done, and that means a lot to customers. I can tell you it meant a lot to me. Tell us about, I know everything getting rose petals and you know, cupcakes all day long. Y'all aren't eating bonbons down in the basement. Tell us about the daily grind of running a business. I mean, what's that like? What's some of the challenging aspects of what you do?
You know, probably time is probably one of my biggest challenges. Is just, you know, if the machines aren't running, then I'm not making money.
Right.
And, you know, so you got to have all your ducks in a row and really be organized and limit the, I guess, limit the chances to make mistakes. You know, so you got to be real detail-oriented.
So make sure, I guess you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but when the machines are running, they need to be cranking out good merchandise, right? I mean, that time needs to count, right?
Yeah, and usually by that time, most of the detail stuff had been done. I mean,
okay.
What I mean by details is thread color, location, size, all the things that take time to set it up. You know, I communication and stuff between the customer needs to be, you know, thorough so that I don't spend a lot of time doing that because I need to get back to the machines and do the running.
Gotcha.
So that and...
So probably communicating thoroughly when you are communicating is important, right?
Yep.
Getting all the right information.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You don't want to get halfway into the job and realize there's something you left out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, that's usually all the... Just time is what makes it difficult.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
With having two people, you know, we just have to have our ducks in a row, or, you know, we waste time and can't get that time back.
I understand. You're right. That's the one commodity we can't get back for sure. What's some advice? I know you said you've been doing this, Lauren, for 11 years. If you were starting over today, not necessarily doing what you're doing, but just in business, if you're starting over today, what would some advice you'd give somebody just coming out of the gate? Maybe something you can hand along to them that you've learned over the last 11 years that's helped you.
You know, one of my old coaches years ago, this is Little League.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Was talking to us at a banquet one time, and he pointed to me, and he said, I want y'all to listen. And he pointed to me, and he said, I'm going to ask you tomorrow. He said, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess around with Mr. In-Between. And I've used that in business. I've also used it with my daughters. With girls, there's a lot of drama, you know,
yeah.
At school with not only, even with their friends and stuff. And I just, I try and tell them, you know, you can't control what other people are going to say. You can't control how they're going to react. You just be yourself and you can't worry about the rest. And that's where that, you know, focus on the positive, focus on what you can do, you know. And I think that's what we do in the embroidery business is we focus on what we can do well, and we do the best we can at it. You know, eliminate the negative. If someone comes to me and says, you know, I want something like, you know, one of the bigger embroidery stores, want something that they do, I'm just going to tell them that's where they need to go because I can't always compete with those companies. And that's kind of the negative stuff. I just eliminate it, you know. And that's with my daughters, you know, you're not going to be able to control what people say. So just let it go in one ear, not the other, and turn the other cheek and, you know, do what you do well, you know, which is being a good friend or listener or whatever. So
That's fantastic advice. Can you say that one more time? I think I got it.
Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess around with Mr. In-Between. Yeah. That was, man, I was probably 11 years old, something like that. And that's really stuck with me.
I had just a couple other things written down here. But what's some of the best advice you've received in business? And I know you just mentioned one, and that might be a rhetorical. I mean, I might be asking you the same thing we just said, but any other piece of advice somebody's given you or something you've learned that you'd like to pass along to somebody else? And as far as the advice goes, like we were just talking about.
You know, it's along those same lines. Just whatever you do, do well. You know, my from coaches to my parents, they've always thought, you know, if you're going to do something, just do it right the first time, do it well, and don't try and live up to, you know, compete with the Joneses. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, you don't know what those companies are going through or those people are going through, and that's something my wife and I have adopted too, is don't try and compete with, you know, all the people with the fancy cars and all that, because you never know, they may be living on nothing but credit cards and,
sure.
And you know, so we focus on what we do well, focus on the gifts that God's given us, and just try to do those well.
I already know the answer to this question because I asked you before we started, but I think now's a good time to throw that one in. How do you compete with the big guys, you know, the big box stores, the online people, all that? We've all got that. No matter what business you're in today, there's somebody that's made some massive business out of it, and they put it online, or they've got a huge retail store, and if you're in business for yourself, you got to compete with those people. How do you do that?
I don't. Yeah, that's we don't try to. That's their niche, and that's great. I mean, you know, if they want, you know, I'm glad that they're able to hire 50 employees, 100 employees, and furnish jobs to those people. That's great, and I hope they succeed. You know, but me and my wife, you know, that our scenario is totally different. You know, we work from home because we want to. We want to be with each other and do what we do well, spend time with our family, you know, our daughters, probably more than the average family, you know. And
sure.
By working from home, I think there's probably times where we're able to save some people some money, and if that saves them some money, then they can grow their business, and if they can grow their business, then we helped somebody get a job or help them make more, you know, more money, and that's great. I mean, that's helping them get what they need.
You mentioned that, and that was impressive to me too, Lauren. You were talking about, you know, when a business is first starting out, you don't want to be the cause of that business going out of business because they spent so much money on advertising costs. You want to be reasonably priced.
Right.
You got a living to make.
Yeah.
But you don't want to take advantage of that guy when he's small. And you know that if you can keep those costs low, you had said earlier, hey, he might come back later on after his business grows and place a bigger order, you know.
Right.
And but you're helping him on the front end as well as on the back end. And I thought that was fantastic advice. Not a lot of people even think about that. But you know, as a business owner, what it's like to start, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, all the costs of getting going and that inertia.
Yeah.
It's hard, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not out there to make a killing.
Right.
I just want to make a living. And, you know, I know that with I tell people, I have no desire to have a big, huge company. With big, huge companies come big, huge headaches.
Oh, yeah.
And whether it's because of, you know, my upbringing, you know, farming and watching my parents go to work and then come home and farm, you know, all night. And I just want to work for a living and make a good living, take care of my family. And if I can help people along the way, because I see that as a service. You know, service is making the product, but there's a service in saving people money, helping them grow their business so that they can provide their, for their family and for other employees. You know, and I really do. I keep that in mind when I'm pricing items. You know, there may be a couple of times where to be in line with the industry standard pricing wise, I could probably make $3 or $4 more an item. But I'll leave that on the table so that they could save a little bit of money, grow their business. I know the next time that they were happy with a good price, a great product, and they're going to come back to me. And again, I'm saving them on time looking online at 10 different companies that may or may not provide a good service or good quality.
Sure.
You know, so I'm saving them time again. So there's several ways to look at the quote unquote service that you're providing. And my wife Jen and I both, you know, think about that as service, you know, and an opportunity to serve. So,
well, I think it's a great service and one I don't hear many people talk about, you know. Yeah. And you know from being in business yourself how, like I said, what that's like getting started and the struggle and the, man, I mean, you're trying to get the world to know your name and at least people locally, so you've got some business and, you know, can help them with the service, hopefully that benefits the world. But, man, you know, times are lean getting started. You don't have a lot of customers. And
yeah.
And any cost savings you can have getting up and going means a whole lot. Yeah. It really does. A lot of people get buried before they ever get started just with all that cost, you know.
Yeah,
that's fine. I've never really heard anybody say that. I appreciate you mentioning that. I think good advice for all of us to follow as we're trying to help people.
We need to help each other. That's one of the problems we've got right now is a lot of me, and selfishness going on. And
absolutely.
If I help you succeed and have your best interest at heart and you help me succeed and you've got my best interest, you know, then we're all just going to be better off. And
well, we all talk about that, Lauren. I mean, you pay somebody to come out to your house and work on an appliance or your air conditioner or what, and, man, the guy just to show up in your driveway is, you know, a quarter of your paycheck, half your paycheck that week before you ever got started, you know, and then the parts are marked up 200%. And then, you know,
at least
we all want to make a living, man, but we shouldn't take advantage of people in the process. And people can tell when you don't.
Absolutely.
Can tell when you don't. And I'm sure that's why you got people coming back to you too, brother. No kidding. They can see that. They can feel that. I know when I came out and got our stuff, I'm not looking anyplace else. I mean, I don't have any reason to look anyplace else. I mean,
well, I appreciate it.
Checked all the dots for me. And and knowing who you are, man, means a whole lot. You know, it really does. One thing, just a couple more questions here, and we'll wrap this up unless you've got anything you want to add. But somebody who's trying to decide whether, man, maybe they work for the man, you know, most of their days, they've worked for somebody else, and they're deciding whether they want to get into business for themselves. I know that's a huge school of thought. There's a lot of different ways we could go, a lot of bases we could cover. What kind of advice would you give to somebody thinking about whether they want to go out on their own?
Number one, pray about it. Pray about it for a while. Talk to other people who are self-employed. Pray and think hard about why you're unhappy where you're at. There's a ton of benefits to being self-employed. There really is. And I wouldn't, me personally, the kind of person I am, I wouldn't have it any other way. But there's several downsides. There really is. I mean, you know, when you go to work tomorrow, you've got work to do. There's going to be a job for you.
That's right.
You know, and for me, you know, if the customers aren't coming or if I don't get out there and get it, you know, I may not have a paycheck. You know, so there's downsides of that. You know, the benefit you spoke of earlier of coming by the house at, you know, 6:30. I mean, I get people come by at text me at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and say, "Hey, I'm gonna drop something on your back porch." You know, now those are well established customers, but some people might see that as a downside, not wanting somebody on their property like that. You know, that late at night.
Sure.
Or if I happen to be gone somewhere and you know with your wife there, you know. Could be unsettling, but just think about it, pray about it, and you know, talk to others, and get their opinion on it, and ultimately do what you're good at, what you know. So
that's my last question. That's something else you mentioned. I'm glad you mentioned that. That leads right into that. You'd mentioned in our previous conversation the importance of being yourself. You mentioned that in just in the course of this conversation and doing what you're good at. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. I guess that goes a long way with the quality thing. I mean, in embroidery, there's corporate embroidery, which is your typical left chest embroidery of hats, what have you. But there's also applique, which is, you see on a lot of your U of L and UK sweatshirts where there's actually one material sewn onto another material. 3D puff, which is, you know, raised lettering on hats. There's companies that specialize in that, and that's just not our thing. I mean, I can do them, but I don't, you know, I guess I don't advertise that very often because it's just not our thing. So we specialize in, you know, left chest or hat, jacket back, you know, corporate embroidery for businesses, and that's just what we're set up to do. That's what our, you know, the amount of equipment that we have to run. You know, we've got a 6-head embroidery machine and a single head embroidery machine, and so we can do 7 items at once, and that's what we're set up to do is corporate embroidery.
Sure.
And I don't, you know, like I said earlier, I don't have any desire to compete with those companies that might have, you know, 12-head machines on up to 60-head machines. You know, I hope they succeed, and that's great. And if you're, you know, John Deere or somebody huge, those people might be for you. But I just, you know, I have no desire to compete with them. I want to find my niche and just do what I'm good at, you know. And that started from, it's not just embroidery. I did the same way with landscaping. You know, I wasn't leaving the job site until it was exactly like I wanted it. You know, even if it cost me money, you know, hourly, if I spent a few extra hours, I wouldn't charge the customer for that, you know, because it was my mistake. I wanted to leave it, you know, the way I was happy with.
Sure.
You know, relationship-wise, basketball-wise, and sports in school, I just, you know, just find your niche, do what you're good at, appreciate the gifts that God's given you, and try and take advantage of those, and you know, that's about it.
You know, you talked about talking to other people that are in business. It made me think of a scripture. We were just in our watch night service at church is something I was studying. But there's a Bible verse that says, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And that's just talking about getting advice from other people, yeah. You know, rather than just jumping out there on your own, knowing very little. You know, talk to people that know.
Yeah.
And this fellow certainly knows his business. And along those lines, before we close out here, Lauren, what's a typical job size that you'd work on? A range. I know that's a broad question, but like, what's a small job? What's a big job?
Small job is, you know, 1 to 12 pieces.
Okay.
Most pieces are 12 to 60 or 80.
Okay.
But we've done as much as, you know, 2,500 hats at a time.
Okay.
Took us three weeks to do it. But
sure.
But we did it, and, you know, luckily we've got the single head and the 6-head, so we were running that big 2,500-piece order on the 6-head and taking care of some of the smaller orders on the single head.
Okay.
And the customer's really good about, you know, being patient with some of the other orders.
So okay.
That really helped. And yeah, that's... Our bread and butter is 12 to 100 and probably 144, 200 pieces.
Okay.
That range.
Okay. So, and I know mine fell into that category, actually, yeah. On the smaller end, you know.
Well, and it's good for the customer, too, because...
Sure.
If it's something that I can repeat and get in a rhythm and you know, kind of get a good steady pace to it, then I can get them done quicker. And, you know, the price is better for them.
Sure.
You know, so...
And I know I was amazed when I got out there just at the variety of hats that you had to offer. Some I'd never even seen before.
Yeah.
And I wear them a lot. And I've got relatives that wear them and love them. I mean, you know, and some I'd never even seen out there. And, you know, I was amazed how differently some hats feel on your head. I've got a big head, you know.
Same type of hat.
Some people have a small head, you know, and just it feels different, you know. And you had some that, man, I fell in love with. Mike did too. And, I mean, we just... And they're fantastic. And if folks, I think you could already tell from us talking to Lauren, the kind of heart he shares. He came out here, came to our studio on his time, to be a help to people. That's the only reason he's out here. And I would highly, highly recommend his service. What he does with embroidery, it's fantastic. I mean, it's the best work I've ever seen. I'm sure he would be modest and maybe not put it up on that level, but would.
It's the best, don't
you? Yeah. But it's fantastic. And, I mean, I get compliments all the time on the ones that you've done for us. And give folks your website, contact information, the best way to contact you, the name of the company, way to contact you, best ways to
name of the company
you.
Is We Embroider. The website is weembroiderky.com. The best way to get a hold of me is either email, which is weembroiderky@gmail.com, or phone number is 502-797-3079.
Okay.
If you go to the website, it's more or less a tool for people to just see products. And
there's a lot on there, and, too. Y'all have done a good job on
that. Yeah, on the Google page, the one good resource is the map showing you how to get to our place, because we do some people say, hey, I was expecting a shop or whatever. We run out of our home in the basement. And
very convenient to get to, folks, right off the interstate.
Yeah. Yep.
Between Buckner and LaGrange. I mean, very easy to get to. Yeah. Good location.
So, but the map on there is good. We've had some, where we live at, we've had some new roads over the last several years. So
in a good way.
In a good way, but then also it's created some issues with the address.
Gotcha.
With the county.
Okay.
So the Google Map tool is correct, and
okay.
It leads you right to the house.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Are there some that
aren't
as accurate?
As opposed to if I give you my address,
uh-huh.
It takes you 2 miles down the road.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So use that Google Pen. It takes you right to the house. Or call me. I'll lead you right in. I do that all the time.
All right. Well, Lorne Brown, we've enjoyed talking to you, brother.
I appreciate
it. And we'll be talking to you again in the future.
Good deal.
Folks, that's gonna do it for this podcast.
Hello again, folks. Hope you enjoyed that podcast as much as Mike and I did. And we want to start into the mastermind review of Lorne Brown's podcast. I think Lorne was a great illustration of just how to love our fellow man and how to live that out in our daily walk and as we conduct our business. I'm reminded of a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 about how it talks about God giving gifts to the church. It also talks about how we don't all share the same gifts. That chapter leads into chapter 13, which is the chapter on charity or Christian love. As you'll remember, in chapter 12, it concludes the lesson on giving gifts to the church by saying, "And yet I show unto you a more excellent way." Upon that ending, the scripture goes immediately into talking about how charity or Christian love outperforms any other spiritual gift or attribute, including speaking with other tongues, having the gift of prophecy, understanding all mysteries, having all knowledge, and even faith that can remove mountains. It's the one gift that we all have as God's people. It's the greatest gift that we can give to others. Someone once said, "I love to hear stories of faith that encourage me to conquer my doubts and fears. I love to sit at the feet of the wise and learn the lessons that they have learned through the years. I love to hear great preaching and stories of those who have given to the call, but I would rather be loved by others than to know anything at all." The act of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins paved the way to salvation for you and I that repent of our former lives and believe on Him. But it's the knowledge that He did it while we were yet sinners that forces it down deep into our hearts. It's truly the greatest love story ever told. The perfect, sinless Son of God dying for a world of hell-deserving sinners. What a God. The greatest commandment in Scripture is found in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6 and verse number 5, where the Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." The second greatest commandment was given by Jesus in the New Testament, when he was tempted by the Pharisee lawyer when asked about what was the great commandment in the law. Jesus answered in Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 37 through 40, where he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Lorne has learned how to take the gift that he's been given and give it to others as a service. He has also used the love that he has for his fellow man to deliver that service, to be honest and fair in his prices. You know, we live in a day of high markup and unjust gains where people want to make all they can in each transaction. He's helping people by giving them fair prices so they can put more money back into their business to keep it afloat. Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 1 says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." As it is common to overcharge people today, it was done in Bible days as well. Someone would advertise a good price and then alter the scale to read more than it should so that the customer would be charged more than they should for their merchandise. God delights in a just weight. That word just means what is proper or suitable. Lorne said he wasn't trying to get rich. Proverbs chapter number 23 and verse number 4 says, "Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom." That's a biblical thought process he had. Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse number 22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." No, contrary to popular belief, you don't have to be cutthroat or greedy to be wealthy. God's blessing can make you rich, and you don't have to feel bad about what you did later. When he decided to leave his other business and make embroidery his full-time profession, he went all in and does the job the best of his ability. Reminds me of a scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 and verse number 10, where the Bible says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 23 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." That word heartily is not a word we use commonly today, but I looked up the definition for the word heartily, and it means from the heart, with all the heart, with zeal, actively, vigorously. We can no doubt sharpen our saws this week by loving our fellow man as ourselves, by being fair in our prices and not laboring to be rich. Romans 8:28 says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That would include doing things heartily with all our heart. That's the master's mind on the subject. Have a great week and let your light shine for the Lord.